The Haines Planning Commission decides tonight whether to allow a boarding kennel to open in a Tanani neighborhood. And our latest installment of our series on the Fort Seward Sculpture Garden Artists. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A resident of Tanani Bay Subdivision near Haines wants to develop a dog boarding kennel business on his property. His neighbors are overwhelmingly opposed to that idea. The borough is recommending a permit be granted for the business with some strict stipulations. But the final decision comes down to the Planning Commission tonight. Jonathan Richardson is asking for a conditional use permit to construct a kennel. The property where he lives is zoned rural mixed use and allows a kennel with a permit. Planning and zoning technician Tracy Trey recommends granting a permit for the kennel. At the time she wrote her memo to the Planning Commission, only two of Richardson's neighbors had submitted letters in opposition, mostly citing noise concerns the kennel might create. Trey notes that Richardson must meet 8 criteria to be granted a conditional use permit, the first being that it doesn't create undue noise or other nuisances and dangers. Trey says 3 properties border Richardson. One is his own residential property, and the other 2 are vacant lots. Trey recommends the Planning Commission require the kennel be designed to mitigate any noise of barking dogs. Trey also details the other criteria and how she believes Richardson's application meets them. But at least 10 people, most residents of the Tanani subdivision, submitted letters asking the Planning Commission deny the permit request. Most cited the potential noise, but several others noted Richardson already has dogs on his property and alleges he allows them to run loose and create a nuisance. Trey recommends the permit be granted for an initial period of 2 years, that barriers be installed to mitigate noise from barking dogs, and that dogs be supervised by at least 1 person on the premise at all times, along with other conditions. The Planning Commission will also discuss tonight a request from Lynn Canal Conservation to comment on the private project plan for the Portage Cove waterfront. Roger Schnabel owns the acre of waterfront property along Front Street and is proposing putting in fill and creating a boat storage and other development there. The Army Corps of Engineers is reviewing a permit request for the fill. Lynn Canal Conservation is asking the Planning Commission to submit comments on the project because the group says it would potentially impact fish habitat, marine birds and wildlife, and the viewshed. The Planning Commission meets at 6:30 tonight in Assembly Chambers. Andrea Nelson is going out of her comfort zone in her installation for the Fort Seward Sculpture Garden. She's one of 17 Haines artists participating in the Alaska Arts Confluence's public art project. Nelson is using rubble from the burnt-out Fort Barracks for her piece. It's inspired by her work as an archaeologist. KHNS's Emily Files talked to Nelson at the Sculpture Garden site, where she's collected a pile of rusted objects to create something beautiful.
So we're in Fort Seward at the lower end of the parade grounds, where there used to stand 2 identical barracks buildings. In the 1980s, 1981, one of those buildings burnt down, and in the 90s, that eventually more of it just got purposely cleared out. And since then, just nature's encroaching, and the walls are kind of crumbling, and so you have a site where you have rubble and nature and a bit of our history all kind of mixed up. So this is the face of, this is my canvas on this side. This is a cement wall within the ruins, which is unique because the rest of the walls are the granite masonry. So this is a smoother surface. So my piece is kind of a reflection of some of the other work I do. In archaeology, when you dig, you encounter stratigraphy in the soil. So the different layers of soil, different textures and colors. And those layers sort of put a chronology in time. So for my project here, what I'm doing is I'm gathering a lot of the scrap metal that's left over in the ruins, which predominantly has to do with heating and plumbing. And I'm trying to categorize my findings into similar concepts of like texture or theme or color. And I'm going to be assembling them on the wall in waves that resemble stratigraphy. So Right now, it just looks like a scrap metal pile. But I'm hoping to find an order to it that kind of brings some beauty to it. My highlight so far is the ornamental radiators. They're actually super ornamental. They've got cherubs, and they must have been from maybe an officer's quarter or something, but it's rusted over, and sometimes it's more clear than others. But they've got this embossed sort of floral Victorian design on their edges. You know, I'm aiming at the historic things, but I find even recent trash fascinating. You know, people have thrown their ovens and car parts and whatever else in here for a couple decades now. And instead of dismissing it because it's not the authentic trash, I'm trying to embrace it as part of the timeline here. And no one era in Haines is more important than another. You know, some places are riddled with sort of bad energy, and I don't feel that here. I think it just feels good to me. It's a beautiful deterioration to me. It doesn't feel like a tragedy or anything like that. I like this project in regard that it takes a space that already exists and utilizes it in a positive way that's creating what we hope will be a beautiful, an experiential place that before was just walked around and maybe wondered about. But, you know, we're not building a new structure or tearing anything down. We're just bringing out a beauty that we already see exists and adding our own creative endeavors to it.
That was artist Andrea Nelson talking about her installation for the Fort Seward Sculpture Garden. Nelson is also the art director for the project. Pictures and other stories from our artist series are at khns.org. The tender Kuprinov had left Petersburg on Sunday, headed to Bristol Bay to tender for Silver Bay Seafoods. Steve Barry of Petersburg was skippering, accompanied by engineer Palmer Thomason and two others when they were forced to abandon the sinking vessel near the Fairweather grounds. Joe Vicnicki talked with Barry Wednesday afternoon back in Petersburg after the rescue.
Oh, it happened quick. It was, I was up from 12 till 3 and then went down and got Palmer, and by 3:15 things weren't looking right, and by 3:30 I was calling Mayday. I believe it was that quick. Had my crew up and getting them in. Something let go, and she just...
What, alarms were going off?
Or... No alarms.
No, really?
Nope, and I know the alarms were working when I took over the boat. I don't know what happened there.
But what was your indication? It was just listing or something?
Started listening hard to the port stern quarter. And it was pretty feeling pretty helpless because we didn't know what to do to alleviate it. Water wasn't clearing off the deck all of a sudden.
Yeah, the waves looked bigger than 6 to 7 feet, which is what they described.
Oh no, by the time they got there, the wind and the seas had started coming down. It came up quick. It came up at midnight, and then. Was really bad, and then by the time they were picking us up, it seemed to have come down a bit, because it was pretty nasty there for a while.
And I guess for you, I heard that everyone was prepared and knew how to put on their survival suit and ready to go.
It wasn't 12 hours before, in Cross Sound, I pulled in and we dropped the pick. We wanted to check the anchor gear once again, and then make sure everything was secure, have a good dinner, and right after dinner, I said, okay, now we're all going to put on our survival suits. And put on our survival suits, we went up and looked at how you deploy the life raft. I showed them where the EPIRB was, how we operate it, just to remind everybody. I even put on the survival suit. It's about once every 10 years I try one on, and I tried one on last night. And, you know, we made sure we had plastic bags to put on. Yeah, that part of it was probably the smartest thing I've done in a while.
Everything worked, and the life raft was available, so...
Yeah, and my crew was awesome.
Barry says the boat sank in deep water. The 73-foot iron and steel tender was built in 1977 and homeported in Petersburg. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can always listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.